All right, so we are still in Colossians, and we're in chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verse 7 today. But I do want to read through the kind of that whole section, starting in verse 3. So if you want to turn there with me, I'm just getting myself set up here. Yeah, so we're in our series, Living as a New Life Church, and it is a journey through Colossians, and we're on the fourth message today, and it's the message is called Thank God for Faithful Ministers of Christ. Should have brought a different stand. It's Thank God for Faithful Ministers of Christ is what the title is, and so. If you've been tracking along in our message series, we see that this series is, in my backpack, in the very front, there's a little box with the pointer remote in it. If you wouldn't mind getting that, that would be fantastic. Sam, do you want to go to the next one? So in this Living as a New Life Church series, we've seen as we've read through Colossians that Paul, he says that the new life has been given to us, and we are to individually put on that new life. We're individually called to new life, and we're also called to live that new life in community as the body of Christ. And Paul, go to the next one, Sam. Paul's urging the Colossian believers to do that well, right? To get it right. Put on that new life, to grow, mature, be renewed in the image of God. And I think there's actually another stand downstairs. If somebody would be able to grab that, that would be fantastic. That one, I've tried to tighten it up a lot, and it's not working. I think there's another stand down there. Sam, do you want to just plug this in as well?
Pardon?
Just plug this into that dongle. Brief commercial break. We'll be back in a moment. Does anybody know what gecko means?
It's a lizard.
Lizard, yeah. Yeah.
Dad, which one does it go into?
Oh, do you know what gecko means? It's lizard.
Oh.
Lizard.
Dad, which one does it go into?
What's that?
Is it gecko English?
No.
What?
I don't think it's not English, is it, gecko?
It's just that I'm very fond of that.
Oh, yeah.
We use the word
all
the
time. Oh,
hates
Dad,
yeah.
But I've been
beautiful.
Right?
What's that?
Yeah. Yeah, us is going back. Is it? Dad, does
that's
it go,
what?
Does it have gecko? To go in all the way?
It pushes in, yeah.
Yeah, I thought gecko was a English word for me.
Okay,
this light didn't go up like the first time I
tried. That's right, yeah, the light's
still going to slide over here, so it's got better.
Yeah. All right, where are we at? Oh, yeah, so Paul is urging people, the believers in Colossians, to do this well, right? Grow, mature, be renewed to the image of our Creator. That's what he's calling the people to do individually. And then he's saying, do that well in the context of community as well, as a church, as the body of Christ. Each person taking their place and acting as part of the body of Christ. And so as we study Colossians, as we go through what Paul is saying, I believe that it's just so timely for us as we're in this shaping stage of our church plant. For us, we can read how Paul encouraged, challenged, and instructed the Colossian church, and that will help us solidify who we are and who we are as a new life church, or people that want to be living the new life individually and as a church, a body of believers. And this is truly what we need to be all about. And so the first Oh, we're going the wrong way now, aren't we? That's funny. Yeah. No, it was right. Okay, so this, yeah, January 5th was our first message. It was a standalone message. It was, again, Paul's greeting, and he talked about his calling. He talked about, this is who I am, these are my credentials as the person that's ministering to you and writing this letter. And it was fun for us to acknowledge the call of God on our lives as well, too. Fun. That's a funny way of saying it. It was great to be able to acknowledge the call of God on our lives as well, too. Calling to salvation, but then a calling to where he has us in life to be his ministers, to be people living out the new life. And we just, you know, we believe that, yeah, God has us here for this moment and this time. And so, we thank God, as Paul was thanking God for the Colossian people. We thank God for how he has been leading us and working in our lives as well, too. And so the second message then was in what I'm calling like the first section of messages, where Paul commends the Colossian church. And so what does he commend the Colossian church for? Well, we looked first at the three essentials of the new life journey. It was Colossians 1 verses 3 to 5, and those three essentials were, in the correct order, were faith. Jeremy said it real quick. Faith, love, hope. Faith, love, and hope. And so those were the three essentials that Paul talked about, that as we are seeking to live this new life, those things are essential in living out the new life. And then last week we talked about the gospel, and the gospel message is a message that's received, revealed, released.
Repeat.
Oh, Asher, he nailed it. Repeat. Repeat. It's that process. It goes on and on and on. The gospel spreads because that happens continually, that it's received. People receive it and understand and grow in it. It's revealed. In a sense, it starts to be revealed in people's lives, that it's, you are growing your faith. And then it's released, that other people hear the gospel and then repeat that process. So that was the message last week, which Maple, she got really excited about sometimes, I know, like when we stood up and she was running around the room. So as she was licking people, Charlotte, the dog was licking people at times, and Jeremy said that must be something. You heard it on the recording?
I listened to all of the
recordings. Awesome.
Oh,
great. Awesome. Oh, dear. That was a bad joke. Anyway, we look forward to many more, Jeremy. Keep them coming. This week we're looking at verse 7, and it's we're looking at Epaphras, this Epaphras fellow, as I put it here, and it's the verse. The title of the message is Thank God for Faithful Ministers of Christ. And so what we're doing today is, again, we'll have a message. We'll look at this verse, and then it will bleed into, as we talk about the document that I sent you, as well as just my vision for this body of believers as we move forward and plan. So if you're in Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read this section again, verses 3 to 8. Shall we stand again as we read God's word? Let's do that. Here are the verses. I'll read it out. Verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God and truth. Just as you learned the grace of God and truth from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks for your word. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through your word, and that you give us these nuggets of truth and even just hope of how you work and minister to and through people. So, Lord, again, speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Verse 7 is what we're focusing on. just as you learned it, and the it is the grace of God and truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a what? Faith, let's say it together. A faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. And so what is Paul commending? This is the question that I've been asking this whole section of the series. What is Paul commending the Colossian church for? Well, this verse is linked to them receiving the gospel message, right? And he's thanking God he's commending them that they've received the gospel message. And then he's commending them for learning about the gospel message. It wasn't just that it was received, but they grew in it. They learned it. And then Paul is obviously commending Epaphras as well, too, and giving him some high standing, right? It's like, Epaphras, he's working with us. Like, he is a part of this ministry. His word, when he shares with you, it's as good as me or Timothy's, we are a part of, we're one team. And this message is unified. This is the true message. And so who is this Epaphras fellow? I have it here, the different things that we read about Epaphras. He is the one who taught them, right? It says that they learned the grace of God and truth from Epaphras. And so he's the one whom they learned it from. He's a beloved fellow servant, and he is a faithful minister of Christ. And he is doing this on their behalf, right? It says, Paul said that he's ministering, he's a faithful servant on their behalf. There's actually, in some manuscripts, when it's translated, they're not sure if they're saying that he's a faithful servant on behalf of Christ, or if he's a faithful servant on behalf of the Colossian believers. It doesn't really matter. Both are really true. He's ministering to the Colossian church, right? He's serving them in that way. He's also a part of Paul's ministry team, right? So he's a representative of Paul as well, too. But it could be both. And then in chapter 12, or chapter 4, verse 12, we also read about Epaphras. His name is mentioned, and he is one of you. He's a Colossian. He's from your group. He's one of you, and he's a servant of Christ, it says there. And so if I were to summarize who this Epaphras fellow is, this is what I would say. Epaphras is someone from Colossae who heard the message of the gospel through Paul's ministry in Ephesus. He believed the message, he received the message, and he surrendered his life to Jesus. Then he answered the call to be a faithful minister of Christ. He joined Paul's ministry, becoming a beloved fellow servant of Christ and a partner in ministry. He went through missions and church planting training. I made that up. I don't know if that's true. But he was a part of Paul's ministry. He sat under Paul, learned from him, was a part of the ministry. He would have no doubt learned from Paul and Timothy. And then with this call to ministry on his life, he shared the gospel with his fellow Colossian city folk. And he taught and discipled them the truths of the gospel. 5 to 10 years later, Paul and Tim, in verse 1, they wrote to encourage, to teach, and to challenge and correct the false teaching that had come to them. That's when this letter came. They think it was about 5 to 10 years after Epaphras first ministered to them. And they did this to continue the discipleship process that Epaphras started. I'm reading into it a bit, expanding it, but we can see that that is what happened with what Paul, the information Paul has given us. I mentioned discipleship process, and you might be saying, hold up, you know, Greg, are you sure? Like, how do we know that they were actually discipling them? And as I studied these verses and read, or this verse and read about it, in the ESV Study Bible, it notes that the Greek word learned in verse 7 there, it's actually closely related to the Greek word for disciple or to disciple. And so they are closely linked. And so it's likely that Epaphras, he was discipling them. He didn't just share the gospel message and say, you're on your own, but he was teaching them. They learned from Epaphras. Just a quote from the ESV Study Bible. It says, more than merely listening to a simple gospel presentation, Paul makes it clear that the gospel involves systematic instruction in the faith and in how to live as a Christian. Epaphras was a faithful minister of Christ because he shared the gospel message, yes, absolutely, and because he taught the gospel message to the Colossian people. Can anybody say, thank God for faithful ministers of Christ? Like, would you say that? Thank God for faithful ministers of Christ who join other faithful ministers of Christ to carry the message of the good news gospel of Christ to others and then teach, instruct, and disciple those people in that good news. How many people came to a relationship with Jesus Christ because of faithful ministers of Christ? Are there names popping into your head? People that faithfully went and said, yes, I will be a pastor at your church. I will answer that call. I will minister to you. And maybe if it was children's church or later on in life, people ministering to you, faithful ministers of Christ that have gone and ministered to you. And we have grown in our faith in Jesus Christ because of a faithful minister of Christ.
Greg, could I just say something? In my case, it was my family. Mm. So I think, like, even like you had up there, individual persons mm-hmm. can be ministers.
Yeah.
Because as little children, we learn in our home.
That's good. That's, yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. Thank you. And it's so true that it's not, thank you for pointing that out. Because I think the way that I'm communicating it sounds like just pastors are faithful ministers of Christ. That is not in my intention. So that's timely. Thank you, Charlotte. Because we are all faithful ministers of Christ, whether it's with neighbors, inviting them into your home and just saying, let's open the word. Jeremy and Suzanne are doing that Wednesday nights. They're being faithful ministers of Christ in that way. You guys, the way that you are discipling and ministering to your children, the way that happened in your home as well, Charlotte. And the way we have that opportunity to do that with our children too. And so the faithful ministers of Christ are those who say, yes, I will minister to who God has placed in my care. I will minister to them. I will speak the word of truth, the gospel, the grace of God in truth, as Paul calls it. And so as I look at this, I started reflecting on another verse. And I call this the three-step process. You know, sometimes you hear in just three easy steps you can become a millionaire, or you know, something like that, whatever. So I kind of put it that way as well too, the three-step process of becoming a faithful minister of Christ. And it was this: Jesus called people to himself, he called them to grow in their faith in him and live for him, to be the gospel to the world. And then he called them to the ministry of reconciliation, to go and to share his message of reconciliation to the world. Matthew 4:19. Come, one, follow me, two, and I will send you out to fish for people. I will make you fishers of men. And I summarize those in three words, and I think I've said this before. The knowing Christ, coming to him, knowing him. Jesus calls people to himself, and our relationship is reconciled with him. We're in relationship with him. We are called to grow. We are to follow him. Follow me. Live with me. Live like I did. Grow in your understanding of who Jesus is and what it means to be more like him every day. Three, go. I will make you fishers of men. Be an ambassador of Christ, an agent of the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what the gospel message is meant to do. The message is meant to be, okay, you can say it, received.
Released.
Oh, that's number three.
Mm-hmm.
Revealed. Good.
Released.
And repeat. Asher got repeat again. That's good.
And
so, when people like Epaphras, Paul, the apostles, the early church leaders, when Greg and Sarah and Suzanne and Jeremy and Charlotte and Joshua and Leo and Caleb and Caprina and Sam and Nanea and Asher, when they go, when they respond to the come, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, people are drawn, right? We're drawing that net in, the fishing net. People are drawn to Christ, to Jesus, and people's lives are changed and Christian communities are formed. And the process continues, it grows and repeats. And so, what am I getting at? I said this would be a short message. I'm only 10 minutes in of the message, okay? I think after this whole thing collapsed. What's the big idea? What's the takeaway? And I want us to have a takeaway. What we learn from this verse and from what Timothy and Epaphras did in the Colossian church is that we see that there's a process for churches to be formed. And some of these processes are essential in forming a church. What if Epaphras, he had just shared the message? He had just presented the gospel, and that was it. What if Paul had said, you know what, I just really don't have time to write that letter to the church. Like, it's kind of hard with these chains on my hands, so I'm not going to bother doing it. But no, they were faithful ministers of Christ. There was a process in how these people were discipled and how they came to know Christ. And that is the takeaway that I want us to take away with us today. That there's a process in how you form a church, how you minister to a church, how you disciple people. And this is, if we look through what we've learned about even just this one verse in Epaphras' ministry and Paul's ministry to the Colossian church, this is how I see it. This is how I see it looking. The church planning process, I'm using common today's terms, so bear with me, but I hope you catch the idea more than anything. This is what the process looked like with using the example of the Colossian church. And so here's how I've kind of boiled it down. Someone hears the gospel message, that's Epaphras. They answer the call to go and make disciples, to be a faithful minister of Christ. There's a specific call to a specific place and people. That's often how it works. I would call that the pre-launch stage. Before he's actually launched and gone and spoken to those people, he's heard the call and he has a desire to go. God has put that burden on him, but he hasn't quite launched yet into ministry. That would be what I'd call the pre-launch stage. Then they and other faithful ministers of Christ, they join together. We read that in Colossians 1 where it says, Paul says, I, Paul, an apostle of Christ, and Timothy are writing this letter to you. And by the way, Epaphras is our beloved fellow servant. He's right here serving with us. So they are a ministry team joined together. Those are people who have really grown in their faith, that know-grow aspect. They're growing in their faith. They know Christ. They are called to minister. They come together. They've established who they are as a ministry, and they make plans to reach that community, to reach the Colossians. They go. Paul couldn't go. He was in prison. He couldn't go. He couldn't minister to them, but Epaphras, he did. Paul, he went and he shared the gospel to others, and he invited them to be a community of Christ. That's what Epaphras did when he shared the gospel. And then in person or by letter or maybe virtually nowadays, right, they encourage, they teach, and they disciple those who have received the gospel message. People responded to the gospel message in Colossae. They responded to the life-changing message of Christ, and now Paul is writing this letter to disciple them and saying, get it together, guys. Don't listen to those false teachers. You have got to get your theology right. You've got to get your practical living for Jesus right. You've got to put on the new life correctly. He's discipling them. He's discipling them. And so they're beginning to be established as a church. They're being discipled, and hopefully they're being more like Jesus every day. I think that's the soft launch phase. That's what I would call it. If we're breaking it down into terms that we can understand, I would call that the soft launch stage. We don't read this next part of what happened in the Colossian church, but I know that this is what Paul hoped for. That is why he was writing this letter. He hoped that they would develop themselves as a local representation of the body of Christ, and that they would speak the word in truth, that they would not be speaking the message that the false deceivers were speaking to them, that they would grow, become solid in belief, and grounded in faith, that they would be a healthy church. And then people from that group, then they would go, they would answer the call to be faithful ministers of Christ, and then they would go and make, what? Disciples, right? Disciples, yeah. What were you saying? Maybe
it's a fish.
Fish, and then they would go and fish, yeah. I think I say that somewhere in here. Yeah, anyway, I'll leave that for later. I would call that the hard launch stage, right? Like they would have launched as a church. They're solid. They're not just being internally fed and focused, right? But they're saying, we now can go and minister to our community. And man, I don't know. It'd be really interesting to look at the history and see if there were like people that went from Colossae, went out from this Colossian church and ministered to others. And that's when you're like, you're in it as a church, right? You are a developed church. You're now sending people. And so I see those three stages that would have happened. And so we're in this process as well. We are absolutely in this process. We are answering the call to be faithful ministers of Christ, each and every one of us. And so everyone asks the question, right? What is the question that you all want to ask? Oh, very good. Where are we in the process? So she says, what stage are we in? Where are we in this process? And then the next question would be, well, if
where
we're in
you
that...
Go from here?
You read it. That's like right there. It's in the next slide. He cheated. It's true. The next question is, where do we go from here? Too smart for your own good, that boy. We're answering two questions today, and that's really what I want to accomplish today. We need to bring clarity of where we are in the process, and we need to answer the question, where do we go from today? How do we do this? How do we be intentional about being a community that would say, we're faithful ministers of Christ? So, where are we in the process? What did I put up here? Okay. I'm just going to keep talking. Where are we in the process? I believe that we're in the pre-launch phase. I really do feel that, but we are teetering into the soft launch stage. We are just about there. And I think that after today, when we have some really, really good, valuable discussion about what's in that document and what's on our hearts, and as we talk about plans going forward, then we could say, bam, you know, we've made that switch. We are moving into that soft launch stage. So in the pre-launch stage, someone has responded to the call to go to a community, to be a faithful minister of Christ and share the gospel in that particular community. Hi, hey guys. You know, like that's, we've seen that. We feel that our family has been called to this area to minister here. And I've already shared our family story and why we feel that he has called us to this particular ministry in one of the earlier messages. And as you look at how a church is formed and in the pre-launch stage, it's important to have someone to say, yes, I will take the lead. I believe that God has called me to this ministry. I believe that he desires for me to lead this body of believers into what God has called us all collectively to do. Someone to make the final call, to steer the ship, to develop culture, to lead and unify the group, to make sure that we have vision and direction, to make sure then that we're fulfilling that vision and direction that we believe God has put on our hearts. That is what I have committed to. That is what I have committed to, that as God has called our family to this area and called me to this ministry here. Others then, in this pre-launch stage, others join in the call of being faithful ministers of Christ to go and to make disciples. We have a group of people who are crazy enough, I mean called, you're supposed to laugh, that was supposed to be funny. People who are called feel called to join that call to be faithful ministers of Christ in the Dundalk area. Joshua's like, yeah, man, we're crazy. Like, he's like smiling. He's laughing. He's laughing. People that feel called to join that call to be faithful ministers of Christ and to build a community of believers that would minister where God has us. Hello, that's you. Okay? Okay. I believe that God has placed you here as well. Seriously, thank you for being faithful ministers of Christ and answering that call. There's a core group, there's that inner circle. We read about Paul and Timothy and Epaphras and their ministry team and how they strategically went and ministered in Colossae. There's a select group of disciples committing to that call to ministry and be a part of the ministry of the forming and shaping process of that church. Let's make sure that these Colossian believers that we've invited to know Christ, to know him, let's make sure that they are tracking in the right direction. Let's those people, then yourselves as the core group, you'd align yourself with the vision of the church and align yourself with the one leading the church. For all of us to be aligned and ministering together in the plan that we believe God is calling us to. That's where we are today. That's what I'm going to be asking of you after we discuss this document. Say, will you align yourself with the plan that we have made to go forward? Let me just take a walk back in time over the past 2.5 months. November 3rd, we were supposed to have our first service. I got sick. We were not able to have our first service. November 10th, we had our first gathering together in our home. We didn't really know each other at all. We knew you guys, Jeremy and Suzanne. We got to know Charlotte and Leo and family a little bit. But we spent 2.5 months to get to know each other. And I know Charlotte, it's been a tough 2.5 months. It's been challenging health-wise, right?
That's my life.
Okay. But we've made various efforts even to get to know Charlotte. I try to check in every week, even if it's a text message or a call, things like that. But we've had opportunities. We had a wonderful fellowship time, which possibly is where Charlotte got sick, that time when we had a meal together. But we enjoyed fellowship, right? We got to know each other. Our relationships were beginning to develop and to grow. We've established our relationships. We've got to know each other, and we've also learned that AI isn't all bad. So we're learning things during this time, right? You know, that it can actually help us in planning and creating a document like we're going to be going through, and also for devotions, things like that. Something else that's taken place is that, you know, I'm happy to report that financial support has been coming in through your tithes, as well as I don't have access to who's tithing or amounts or things like that. I want you to know that. But I do know that there's tithes coming in. And there's also people that are not connected to this church that know us that are giving. And there's also a couple churches that have made donations and said, hey, we want to get on board. We want to get on board with what you're doing. And praise God for that. We see that we're beginning to be organized as a group, as a body of Christ. I send in ministry reports to Amara Pentecostal Assembly, who is our head right now, our covering, for accountability, so they know what's taking place, what's happening. They send me financial reports of where we're at as far as giving, as well as expenses, things like that. And so we're beginning to be established and organized, and eventually this year, later on, we will move to the point of gaining our own charitable status and being able to be organized that way, to say that we are actually a church. We don't just have a fake name. It's like we're for real now. We're registered. I shouldn't say that. That's a terrible way of saying that. But you understand what I'm saying, right? Jeremy's like, no, that makes sense, right? Because it's not official. But we're beginning to be organized, right? We spent 1+ month to start establishing who we are, our DNA, right? What is our culture? Who are we? We've been able to do that and sit down and do that. And so I see that we're finishing up this pre-launch phase of us as faithful ministers of Christ and coming together to form a church that would be a group that would reach our community, to reach our goals, the vision that we've set out in this document. We've been doing that for the past 2.5 months, and so it's a process. But I also want to say, this is what we've accomplished in 2.5 months. We have accomplished wonderful things, great things. Do I want us to continue progressing and move on from where we're at? Of course, yeah. Like, that's why we're here. You know, that's what we're doing. But look at what we've accomplished as well. Please be encouraged. Be encouraged of where we're at and where we've come from. The second question that we are trying to answer today is, I had it here. So step one, this is, you know, where do we want to go from here? That's the second question we're trying to answer, okay? What's next? What is next for us? Well, it's moving into that soft launch phase. And this is where we establish who we are as a church. We establish our ministry. This is our vision, our mission, our goals. This is our DNA of who we are. And then this is what we are going to do. This is how we are going to operate and function as a church. And so as we've been forming and molding our DNA and our culture as a church, as we continue to do this in this next phase, next stage, we've got to do this well. I'm going to say this right off the bat. We have to do this well. Establish who we are as a church. Because as we do it, we'll be able to go against culture, the worldly culture, and say, no, actually, like, that's not who we are as a church. We're a New Life church who's living for Christ. And so different things in culture that try to invade who we are and what we do, it will guard us against false teaching that will want to come and invade us as well too and break us apart. It will guard us against false notions of what church has to be and should be, because that's tradition and that's the way it has to be done and that's the way it needs to be. It will guard us against those things that will only distract us from what God has called us to do. It will guard us against individualism and people projecting their own personal and selfish agendas and wants. That's strong language. It's strong language, but listen to me. That can happen so easily and quickly, especially if we are not grounded and able to say, hey, we've got scripture, like, that's what we follow, but look at our 3-page document as well, right? I'm sorry, but that's really not a part of who we are. That is not what we are trying to do here as a body of Christ and believers. Maybe eventually, okay, we could do some of those things, but this is what we have to focus on right now. These are our core values. This is where we've got to stay. And so as we develop that DNA and that culture, it guards against those things. And I made a note here. This is what Paul is doing. Like, that's exactly what he's doing in writing this letter. It's not a flowery, hey, I'm commending you guys. When we move beyond, like, verses 3-8, boy, does Paul get down to business, right? He's like, he gets into this poem describing who Christ is. He's like, you miss this. This is who Jesus Christ is. And you need to understand that. You need to be grounded in that. And then this is how you are, what you've left behind as believers. You're no longer living like that. And you're putting on the new life of Christ. This is who you are to be as a body of believers. And so you can see Paul doing that he's forming and shaping the DNA of the Colossian church. And then next, it's making a strategy, you know, a strategic plan for reaching our vision. What are we called to do, and what are the guiding truths of Scripture for our church? Those principles and values, they keep us focused on what God has called us to do. This is where we establish who we are, and we don't stray from our plan going forward. And so, everyone that we invite into this pre-launch or into the soft launch stage, we are going to ask them to align themselves with the DNA and the plan that we set forward. If they cannot align themselves with the DNA and the strategic plan and the timeline that we've put in place, then they need to reconsider and say, or they need to consider whether they're called to. They can still be faithful ministers of Christ. I'm not saying they're not Christians, not believers. But what I'm saying is they need to decide if they are called to church planting. that they're called to be a part of this group and a call to be a part of what we believe God is calling us to move forward in. And so that's the process that I see as far as the first step of establishing who we are in this soft launch stage. And we'll get to that DNA document shortly. The next step that we would do in the soft launch stage would be to invite more faithful ministers of Christ. To help us accomplish vision, we need more people who will align with the DNA and the strategic plan that we set forward. For people to join us as workers in the harvest field or join us on the fishing trip. See, I did have that kind of line in there. It's good, right? Thank you. Epaphras, he was a fellow servant along Paul and Timothy as well. He probably was on a team of more people also. Paul didn't mention them, but they had a ministry team that was formed and put together. They were invited. Epaphras was invited into the ministry team to be a faithful minister of Christ, right? And so again, you've come here either because you're crazy and you've got nothing better to do with your life. You've come here because I believe that you have a passion for Jesus. Church, like crickets? Is that like just amen? Oh, Jeremy's like, amen.
That's like a question.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen, right? You've come because you have a passion for Jesus, and you also have some connection to our family. You understand and you know who we are. Jeremy and Suzanne, that looks different for you guys than these ones here. You know us, or you committed to this vision of having a church planted, a new church, a new body of believers started because you believed the Western Ontario district. You believed Sam Sibley for when he vetted us and said, you know, Greg and Sarah, they're the family that's going to be ministering in Dundalk. Would you join them? Right? That was the invitation for Charlotte, Leo, Caprina, and the boys in joining this part of the ministry. And then each of us should, and I believe, and I really hope, and I pray that we have a passion to see Dundalk and surrounding communities reached with the gospel of Christ. That needs to be our passion. Those are the two things. When we begin to invite other people into this core group, this planting group, those should be the two things that we're asking of them. Do you have a passion for Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? And then do you have a passion to see a church planted in this area that would minister to people in Dundalk and the surrounding communities so that others would come to know Christ and be his faithful ministers? Those people might know you, particularly Charlotte and Leo, and that might be a reason why Caprina, missed you in the corner there. But they may know you guys, and so they may say, yeah, I'm interested. But more than that, it's so important for us to have this vision, mission, and strategic plan down, decided on, stamped, approved by all of us, so that when we talk to other people, that we learn they're. I'm going to be talking with a family on Thursday. Sarah and I are going to be meeting them for coffee. They've been attending the Clearview Community Church in Stayner. Pastor Tony, he's actually on leave right now, but Pastor Tony Denbach, incredible guy. Like he's telling his family, I don't know if he's told them straight up, but he's encouraged them to leave Stayner and to join our group. Like we need more pastors like that in different churches that see families that this family lives just in is it Corbetton, the next little town after Dundalk. So they're in the proximity, right? They're in this area, but he's encouraging them. He's saying, will you look at joining this group because they're trying to form a church that'll be able to minister to their community. So how are they gonna join? They don't know us, either than Pastor Tony has said, hey, from what I know of Greg, he's okay, you know, but they need to know our vision. They'll need to know our vision. They'll be able to say, yeah, I'm all about that. I can totally say yes to joining Highlands New Life Community Church in what they're doing. And so it's so important to have this, our DNA figured out. All right, I got to keep moving here. So who are those people that we want to invite to the church plant? I've already said the two things, right? Passionate followers of Jesus, and then those who want to see a church planted. Those are the people that we would want to invite to the shaping, forming, and planning process of this church. And so step three in this soft launch stage would be begin. Did I go to four already? I did. Three. Well, I go 3-4. That's okay. Develop discipleship strategies and integrate those strategies into the core. We need to develop and begin to integrate the ways that we plan to disciple people. We can do that amongst ourselves, right? We begin doing that, whether it's, you know, I know these Sunday mornings have felt more like a small group time. That's intentional. That's good. That's where people are going to grow in their faith, as we have some discussion after, you know, to us be able to say, well, you know, this is what God spoke to me through his word. So we need to be integrating discipleship, the different discipleship aspects of the church. And the next step really in our pre-launch stage is to develop a discipleship pathway. To say, you know, there will be times when we eventually, anyway, I'll go to step four. That'll help talk about step three a bit more. Step four would be to start public ministry, to Colossae, right? To go and minister as Epaphras did to the church in Colossae, to share the gospel with them, and then to invite them into community. So we'll be doing that in Dundalk and surrounding communities. We're still in the soft launch phase. This won't be like full out like us doing this, because we won't have the capacity to be able to do it in a massive way. But some of the ideas that have been going through my mind and just discussions with Jeremy and Leo as been meeting with them a bit, it's ideas of kind of, okay, open up as a Sunday, do a Sunday service, but have others from another church come in and join us so that we can do that well. We can have a worship band. We can, you know, we can have people at the door. We can have people outside welcoming them and saying, you can park here and make sure you don't fall off the cliff there, you know, things like that, right? Just people to join us as we do that. And that's an opportunity to say, hey, we are this group that's meeting together. We aren't able to fully launch quite yet, but people will come because they'll be interested in saying, okay. But during those times, what will be key is saying, we have to, these are discipleship groups for people who are passionate about Jesus and want to see a church planted in this area. But we also have this discipleship group that's doing Alpha, right? And you can join that weekly. That's going to be the thing that you join weekly. So that's kind of the thoughts on a discipleship strategy as we are in this soft launch stage, that it's we don't have the capacity to do a full out hard launch of saying, boom, you know, here we are, that this is who we are as a church, but we're developing that. So that is where we're at, and we are where we're going in this church formation process. Step one is establish who we are as a church. Step two, invite more faithful ministers of Christ. Step three, develop discipleship strategies. And step four is begin outreach to the community in a soft launch way. Here's the temptation. And this is what I've been wrestling with over the past 2.5 months. The temptation has been to fling the doors open and to say, welcome to Highlands New Life Community Church. We don't know who we are, and we have a fairly shaky foundation, but come and experience Jesus. That has been the temptation, because I do feel the urgency. I do know that there may be others, there may be people in the community that want to be a part of a church, that want that routine of a Sunday morning, of gathering and being together. That temptation has been there. And as far as us strategically or as a group, I don't think we're there yet. We're not ready yet. Physically, as far as having a meeting place that is welcoming and that is, I'll use the word attractive, because listen, that's part of it, that people come and they want to feel welcome, they want to feel comfortable in a certain, what's that?
Functional.
Yeah, you know, that it, that is completely functional.
Are you talking about flushing?
Completely functional, right? And so here's the problems with us jumping to number four. Even in the soft launch part, but even that temptation to do it in a hard launch way to say the doors have to be open, we've got to be in here. Here's the problem with that. It's one, we become about the experience. Only the come. There's three parts to it, and Jesus didn't just say come, hang out for a while, you know, and then you're good. No, it was like come, and it was like follow me, as in become like me, follow me. And so it becomes about the experience of come and a little bit of the no, right? Because I can preach every Sunday. I can do that. And people they'll hear the gospel, they'll hear the message. But that is only a piece of what I just feel strongly about. I feel passionate about, of people really coming to a faith in Christ. They can hear a message on a Sunday morning, but it's not enough. It's not enough. We have got to help people grow in their relationship with Jesus through discipleship. We are called to disciple people. And so, you know, like the crowds who listened to the come, you know, people are saying, oh, you've got to come and listen to this teacher, right? He's amazing. I think he's the Messiah. He will make life better for us, you know, for me. And he's going to take down the Roman culture. They don't even have an understanding of who Jesus is, but they know they want to come and hear him talk, right? They want to hear him talk. But then just a short time later, we hear those same crowds. They're shouting what? Crucify him. Crucify him. They never grasped who he was. They learned his message wasn't mainly about what he can do for them, but his message was about what they need to do to be more like him and what they would then do to minister to others. So I'm just going to assume that you all just tell everybody, oh, come and listen to Greg. He's amazing, right? You do say that, right? Yeah? You're saying that? You need to just come and listen, right? But then I'm afraid eventually that it's also going to turn into crucify. No, just kidding. That was a joke. That was bad, right? Just bad. Get used to that. What I'm saying is, we've got to keep the cart before the horse, right? Or no, we've got to keep the horse before the cart. Keep the horse before the cart. That it's, we are established in who we. You ever seen that? Could you imagine? Like, there's all of a sudden a cart coming down here and a horse chasing it. That'd be awesome. We've got to truly establish who we are and have discipleship pathways. That we invite people into this community. We're not just inviting them into. We're not just inviting them to hear the gospel message, but to understand it. Right? That this is the gospel message. So this is my passion, this is my vision for who we are going to be as a church. The second problem with this jumping to soft launch four or hard launch four is that we become consumed with creating the come. Right? We become consumed with creating that experience. And we aren't prepared to teach the follow me aspects. And we're not prepared to teach the become fishers of men aspects of living the new life. I want to ask the question, do you have any idea how much time it takes to prepare a message from Scripture that actually is meaty, that has meat to feed people? Sarah's like, she's smirking. She's like, she knows it takes a while for me to sit down and to do that and to spend that time. I think Charlotte's looking around, right? Because you did that, right? You guys have done that in that final season of the church. And so, you know, Jeremy,
what's your number?
What's my number?
How many hours?
You know what? It does vary, but like definitely 12 hours plus. Mm-hmm. Like definitely more than that.
He spends at least that much on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know.
You have to do research behind what you're
do. Yeah.
And prayer,
right. You know, you're like, there's times I stop and it's like, God, this has got to be you, because it's just got to be.
Well, that's the invisible time too, right? Like, it's 12 hours of study, but there's also that you have to take a break.
Yeah.
The Spirit of being.
Yeah.
Seeing,
like,
literally pray and come down and then, I need to get more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good. Yeah. You guys understand.
It takes days.
Yeah. Well, it does. It's
the number of times you hear the sermon, that's how I know. How many hours has it been? I've heard it four times. Okay, so that's...
So it can't be done on Saturday night.
No. I appreciate that, guys. I appreciate that you understand that. And that's helpful as we move forward, as we develop. And like the next question is, how much time does it take to prepare a worship kind of celebration gathering service, right? Like that, it takes time, it takes effort. And just the reality, the stage that we're in right now is that I'm not able to pour full time into that. It's quite likely that in the next month I'll be getting a part-time job. There's, as far as adults in the room, we've got 2, 4, 6 with Joshua, you know, 8. Caleb, you're capable to help out as well too. Sam, he's the tech man, you know, you got like there's we are able to do some things as we gather, and that's wonderful. But I do feel passionate, I do feel strongly that we need more workers. We do need more workers to accomplish the vision that God has called us to do. And that's what we are stepping into now. We're establishing who we are as a group. We can say who we are, and we can begin to invite others. I hate to mention this, because pastors aren't supposed to talk about money. Like, Jesus never did, right? No, he actually, they said that that's what he like talked about the most. He talked about money a lot. But I do want to talk about that as well, too, that it is... When we start to grow our core group, you know, right now we're receiving some support from the district, which is wonderful. That's great. Again, ties, others supporting, joining us, that's amazing. But we have to develop that as well too. And as we invite, this may sound bad, but as we invite other people in the core group, I pray that they have already caught that vision of saying, no, if I'm a part of a church, part of that is that I'm a part of it in that way as well too, in supporting the work that God is doing in this area. Then we'll be able to grow and develop and to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. I'll mention some things quickly. Those 2 propane tanks that are out there, they run out every 2 weeks. I've been shocked, and I have the temperature set at 14 degrees inside here. So it takes a lot to heat the building. I haven't seen the bill yet. Western Ontario District is covering that for us until possibly end of March. I'm gonna try to stretch it out until April, when the sun starts shining. That would be wonderful. They're paying the insurance, which is about $800 a month. They, as far as lights on, electricity, I haven't seen the bill yet. As far as this bill, as far as this building, I'm going to be getting into, after we talk about the DNA document, I'm going to be getting into the things that I feel that are very, very necessary before we start inviting people into this space, the absolutes, the musts, but it's going to be in the thousands that I believe that we need to spend to make this place like functional completely and entirely. And welcoming, that people would say, because we are human and we are fickle in nature, and people will look and say, yeah, this is something I want to be a part of. I hope that mindset and attitude changes as they become a part of our group, that it's not just about the comforts of being in a place, but there are things that we need to do before we invite people in. You understand what I'm saying, right? As far as it being a process and what it's going to take to have a meeting place. Third, the problem with this, we're going to get to that DNA document. Man, we're close to 11:30. I'm sorry. But I feel this is so important for us to all be on board in understanding where I'm at and what we're thinking, and for you to be there too. The third problem with jumping to 4, and this is the last problem, there's no more problems, of jumping to 4 and saying, fling the doors open, right? And start inviting people in. And I've talked about this a bit already, we haven't established who we are as a new church plant. We haven't established who we are as this body of Christ, this body of believers. New people won't know what they're joining, what they're coming to be a part of. They would know what a Sunday service looks like. They you know, that's fine. We could produce that. But as far as them being a part of this body of believers as we desire for them to be and to be growing, they won't know. Partners that I'm wanting to be reaching out to after we've established this part of our journey of establishing our DNA, reaching out to different partners, other churches that would maybe support us, individuals, maybe organizations, companies, that'd be wonderful. They need to know who we are as well too. They need to know what our plan is and what our direction is and what our needs are. You know, what are those list of things that we want to have done before we say, yes, come and meet in this church? And then I do need to address this and talk about this as well too. And I say this with no offense to Charlotte, to Leo, Caprina, and family who have been a part of the Country Gospel Church, Charlotte for 30 years plus, being a part of that church. If we swing the doors open and if we produce a service, we will be Country Gospel Church 2.0. That is the reality of where we're at. And you can get mad at me, but I'm going to say it straight up. I don't want that. It cannot be that way. Charlotte, thank you. You're confirming that. You're confirming that. Thank you.
I agree. It can't go backwards. It's got to go forward.
Yeah. You know, I don't know why God allows that to happen and what takes place, right? But God allows certain things to die to be able to completely cut off a certain culture, to say that's gone, it's buried, it's dead, and whatever things were taking place that brought it to the point of where it was, we've buried them, right? They are gone, we've buried them, and we're moving forward in new life, right? In new life, new vision for this community, our heart is there. And if we, some of it's physical, right? Let's make some physical changes and say, yeah, we're in the same building. However, you know, look at this, right? You know, it's different. It's different, but a lot of it is culture. A lot of it is culture as a group. That when people do set foot into this place, when we're eventually meeting here, or if it's in a community center or something like that, they say, man, you know, that welcoming culture of Highlands New Life Church, amazing. Like, that is something that I believe that God wants me to be a part of, right? That is what we are going towards. And so when we do look at launching, we need to remove the traces, right? Remove the traces of the old. And that's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. It's this building is a blessing and a curse all in the same sentence. Okay, I'll tell you that straight up. The blessing is we have a place that we can meet in, and even though it costs a lot to heat it and to pay insurance and things like that, but it is a place to meet, and it's something for us to work with. The difficult and challenging part is that there's people will still think that it's the same culture that was attached to the former church, and so we have to be intentional in how we develop and shape our culture. And so those are the three challenges or problems with jumping to number four. Okay, so that's basically where I'm at with this message, talking about the process of church planning. So I'm asking ourselves, let's stay on track, do this right. If there's times where you're just not sure how everything's tracking and what's going on, please reach out. But I need you to be aligned with what we're doing and how we are moving forward. If there's frustration and challenging seasons in it, yeah, if we're going to get it. What's that?
There will be.
Yeah. It will be challenging, but I do want to jump back to step one, the establishing ourselves as a ministry, and go over the DNA document. Sam, it'll be, it's in Chrome. I forgot to.